Well, it's definitely my favorite time of the week, and I'm not just saying that. And I hope it's your favorite time of the week, too. Welcome to the Sports Card Strategy Show. I am here. We're full strength. I love it. We've got Kendall the Lefty McKee is back from his trip. Chad, Dr. Crack, the sports card Dr. Gill is in the house. And then Duke Denny One Time Dodson from Graybo's Sports Cards is joining us. It's that time of the month. We've got Duke in the house. And speaking of Graybo's, in case you don't know, they are a local hobby shop in Richmond, Virginia, Graybo's Sports Cards, owned by Gray Burnett, Ryan Fitz, and Duke Denny One Time Dodson, joining us on the show today as our special guest co-host. They're located in the Arts District of Richmond, Virginia. They sport the best selection of raw and graded singles in the Mid-Atlantic and a wide variety of wax. Listeners of the Sports Card Strategy Show can receive a 10% discount on any purchase at graybos.co by entering the code STRATEGY2023. Graybo's now breaks on the Drip app 5 nights a week, including baseball, basketball, football, and even wrestling. Wrestling breaks, everybody. I want to know if you've participated in a wrestling break. If you use the link in their IG bio, Graybo's_cards, you can get a $15 credit after your first purchase on Drip. Follow all of Graybo's news and updates on Instagram at Graybo's_cards. Don't forget also to get unlimited personalized advice to build your sports card investment portfolio. Get a free 30-day trial now at nooffseason.com. And our friends at marketmoversapp.com do an amazing job. That's how we get all of our data for everything that we do on both our website and our shows. Marketmoversapp.com, you can get a great deal now, a free 14-day trial plus 20% off for life. You've got to use the promo code NOOFFSEASON. So make sure that you use the promo code NOOFFSEASON. Fellas, what's going on? Good to see everybody. Let's go to Duke first. Duke, how you doing, man?
Hey, man. Happy to be here. Happy Monday to you boys. Always good to be here. Things are good in Richmond.
Awesome. Well, we've got an announcement to make. You and I've got an announcement to make. I'm not sure if you can turn up your mic. I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you there, or just lean in closer, why don't you tell everybody what we're doing at the National, man? Because I'm pumped about this. This is only a few weeks away here.
And I will say selfishly, this is built around my schedule because I'm on family vacation the week of the National, which is bad timing, I know. But my family, my wife and kids are so gracious to let me leave one day. So I'm flying from the beach to Chicago for one day only, Thursday. So after the show Thursday night, 7 to 9:30 p.m. at Crust Brewing, it's 0.6 miles from the convention. So maybe a long walk or a short Uber. We're going to do a meetup, little trade night. Graybo's is going to sponsor by giving everybody 2 drink tickets and a bunch of appetizers. And so we hope to meet a bunch of you guys that we've been kind of interacting with on the show. So I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, this is all Graybo's, guys. So definitely like RSVP at nooffseason.com. And you'll see a button there that says meet up at the National. Just fill out that form. That way we can make space for you. We're just trying to understand how many people can come. So if you can come and meet us at the National after hours on Thursday, July 27th from 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. anytime during that window, really, we'd love to have you. Let us know. Crust Brewing, courtesy of Graybo's Sports Cards. Really, really appreciate Duke and the team putting that together. And not sure if you wanted me to say this, but Graybo's is going to have a couple drink tickets for everybody that comes and some apps courtesy of Graybo's. So we really appreciate that. Thanks again for putting that together, Duke. And Lefty, you going to be there, man?
I will be there.
Lefty will be there. Chad, you going to be there?
I don't know what Thursday. I was coming on Friday, but I might. Thursday, I was going to plan on trying to – I just got – switched my days off so I could be off on Thursday because I didn't think one day was going to be enough at the National. So I was going to – Thursday was going to be family day with the kids. I don't know whether or not how long of a day that would be with my 7-year-olds if they would, if it would be worth the insanity or not. But I might so have
I'm hearing a yes.
I'm thinking that we might need to make an appearance before we head back home and just let them sleep in the car or something. So that it's a solid maybe.
Solid maybe. All right, everybody. We've had some RSVPs already, so I'm really excited about that. Get in now. Go to nooffseason.com, RSVP. Lefty's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Duke's going to be there. Chad is a solid maybe. So let's say hi to everybody in the live chat comments here. Chad Gill, love when he breaks the third wall. That's one of my favorite things about the show. Rusty Emigart, good morning, you card nerds. Good morning to you, Rusty. Brian Steeler 714 in the house. Our cardboard brother, good to see you. Barusky in the house. Ryan Barusky, hello. Cleo Cards, oh my shoes. We've got a Facebook user. We'll check on who that is in a minute because Facebook doesn't show us that in StreamYard. Shoes Lawrence is in the house.
Siow.
Barusky says his motorcycle is in the shop, tune up. That's the sidecar that he will be riding in as his father picks him up. Throws Ryan in the sidecar and they get to the national together. Keith Riordan. Keith Riordan is the Facebook user. I thought that was you, Keith. That's usually you coming in from Facebook. Welcome from Facebook. Welcome to YouTube. Welcome to the Spotify and Apple listeners. Don't worry if I'm not shouting you out as a Spotify or Apple listener. You can email me at paul@nooffseason.com and make sure that I shout you out in an episode. Or you can tweet at nooffseasoncard or you can tweet at Lefty McKee. Tweet at Graybos_cards. We'll get at you. We appreciate your support. We're here for you. So before we get into the LW buy and sell, I want to do a little weekend recap. So this is a little curveball for the guys here as my co-hosts, but I figured we could do a little weekend recap because a lot happened over this weekend in sports and I think most of it is card related. So let's talk through this real quick. So first item up is NBA Summer League. So I've mentioned this a couple times. Now let's not get it twisted here. The NBA sanctioned Summer League is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the BS stuff that Chet Holmgren played in last year where he broke his foot or plantar fasciitis himself. This is the sanctioned NBA Summer League. So you had Victor Wembanyama make his NBA debut in the Summer League against Brandon Miller, the number one and the number two pick. And it was kind of funny. I watched the game. Wemby looked horrible. It's fine. I mean, it's fine. Like it was his first appearance. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but there was some overreaction. Brandon Miller looked great. And you had some cards move down for Wembanyama and move up for Brandon Miller. And this is not a surprise. Like Chad and I talked about this. This happens in the NBA Summer League. So I think this is an opportunity for people who listen to this show to make moves during the end, like leading up to the NBA Summer League. First and second year players play in this. And then a bunch of other guys who probably won't be on rosters will probably be in the G League. The other guy who played in this is James Wiseman. He's a third year guy for the Pistons, but you know, he looked pretty good and there's some movement on his cards. I dipped into some James Wiseman auctions and I think it's an opportunity for people who have been waiting to get rid of their James Wiseman cards and they're selling. So, he's a third year guy, but he's injured pretty much all of his rookie year. And then kind of was a two way player in the G League in Golden State before he got traded to Detroit last year. So NBA G League, Chad, thoughts on this movement here? I mean, sorry, NBA Summer League. Summer League.
I love it. The Summer League is where you saw Bol Bol cards go absolutely insane last summer when he put up the numbers and everybody thought he was going to be, you know, the next Hall of Fame candidate. And his cards went over $100 for PSA 10s, and by September they were back down to $10 where they started. So I love the hype that the Summer League brings. I think it gives us a great opportunity for some hype in a otherwise dull time. Really, all we got right now is the All-Star game, you know, this week for baseball. Other than that, we're kind of in a lull. So I love it.
Yeah, the NBA hype machine, marketing machine, is phenomenal. They're on ESPN and NBA TV. They've got pretty much all these games televised. They're promoting the rookies, the second year guys. I mean, the Pistons should win the summer league because they basically have kind of a real NBA team right now with Jaden Ivey playing and James Wiseman and Jalen Duren playing. So I'm a big fan of the summer league, but I'm a basketball guy. Duke, what do you think about the NBA summer league? Is there any movement at Graybo's with some of these guys like Chet Holmgren playing well? He's another guy. Like anything you're seeing with the NBA summer league? Are you placing bets on NBA summer league?
I am a true degenerate, but I don't place bets on things like that where they don't really care about the outcome. But it was cool the other night when you had Wimby and Miller and Amen and Scoot all playing like back to within two games. That was really fun to get to see them. I held my breath when Wimby brought the ball up the court the other day and got out of control and fell on his shoulder. I don't know if you saw that. And like I cringed thinking about Chet getting hurt in the summer. And I said, dear God, Wimby, like pass the ball. There's no reason, because he is very coordinated for a guy who's 7'4", but when he runs up and down the court, he still looks like a baby giraffe, you know, who's learning to find his legs. And I hope the coach has told him, please stop doing that. That's like, that would be a nightmare for everybody if he gets injured in a summer league game. But no, it is fun to see it. I haven't seen a lot of movement yet just because it's been the weekend and we were at a card show over the weekend, but we'll see this week if people come in and start asking for Brandon Miller but we put most of our cards of those guys up for auction the week of the draft. So we, you know, our Scoots and our Sold, you bought all of our Amen Thompsons, I believe, when you were in the shop. So we don't have many of those guys left.
Yeah. Yeah. I listed most of mine during the draft week as well. I sent my Amen Thompsons to PSA because I think they were all refractors, or at least a couple of them were. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to send these to PSA, just see what happens. And then maybe flip them in October. So that's going to be the timeline for those cards. We'll see how that works. But Lefty, it was a big weekend in your world here too. I'm going to get to you in a second, but first I want to talk real quick about Wimbledon. Because this is another opportunity for sports cards that I think we don't talk about enough. We don't talk about tennis that much. And you've got this guy, Carlos Alcaraz, who's 20 years old from Spain. NetPro, for those of you that don't know, NetPro did a online-only release of his, I guess, official rookie cards last year. And so they're 2022 NetPro. And they came out, they were limited print runs, but there were multiple versions of them, some autographed, some not autographed, and those are selling very well as he looks to. I don't know that much about Wimbledon, to be honest with you, but my understanding of it is that he's the number one seed, he's the favorite to win, and that the final would be next Sunday, this upcoming Sunday. So actually this upcoming Sunday, sorry. And so there might not be enough time for a quick flip for you at this juncture, but there could be. There could be a quick flip opportunity with Carlos Alcaraz. Lefty, I've got something that's more up your alley in a second, but let's go to you. Is this something that you're familiar with in terms of the tennis situation in Wimbledon? I know you don't give yourself enough credit. You're usually in at least dipping into most things, but what do you think about Alcaraz?
Man, I'm all about if cards can make me money, I'm in. So, you know, if Alcaraz is going to be a guy, there's Chad.
Chad's light.
Actually, the guy, I have a guy, an employee that works for me that is super into tennis. And so he's been talking about Alcaraz, but I don't really know much other than he's really hyped. And what I do know is that the big three are eventually going to have to retire. You know, you're eventually going to, I mean, we're seeing the end of a couple of their careers, but somebody's going to have to take that mantle and might as well be Alcaraz.
Yeah, I think he won the U.S. Open last year as well.
Denny, are you raising your hand?
So he's already solid. Duke Denny, one-time Dodson, comment on Carlos Alcaraz.
I do have an opinion on tennis. I do watch a lot of tennis. So Djokovic is still going to win this tournament. I would bet heavily on that. And so I would wait to buy Alcaraz later if it were up to me. It's it you know, Federer and Nadal are pretty much done. Federer's definitely done. Djokovic is still going to win for another year or two, probably, but then it's going to be Alcaraz's show. And the other guy to watch is Jannik Sinner, young guy, 21 years old. They just need Djokovic to retire because he's just going to keep winning for the foreseeable future. He's going to win 3 out of 4 majors for the next year or two. But I couldn't find any Sinner cards out there. But obviously, Alcaraz has the Net Pro cards.
Cool. Good stuff. Chad, you got an opinion on? I mean, I think Duke makes a good point. It's like, to make a quick flip on this, you'd have to be really sure that he's going to win it. And it's probably too quick of a turn on a flip like that, but maybe waiting several months on Alcaraz, maybe till after all the Grand Slams are done for the year, kind of a situation, and then looking to buy him during the classic December dip of everything, and then holding it until Joker does retire could be the play. I think Duke's onto something. What do you think, Chad?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not big into tennis. I own 3 tennis cards. I own a Johnny Mac rookie card, and then I own Serena and Venus Williams rookie cards, just because I figured that I loved Johnny Mac when he played and screamed and hollered and kicked and everything that Johnny Mac was. If you could imagine a hype machine back in the day when he played, he would have been like everything. And then the Williams sisters are history makers. So that's the only 3 tennis cards I own. I don't know much about tennis. I can't stand watching it, but I love making money, so I'm all for it.
Love it. I think that's what all 4 of us definitely have in common, is that, like, hey, if there's a way to make money on this, like, let's look at it. Chad's definitely has 3 more tennis cards than I do, so appreciate that. All right, before we get into our next weekend recap item that Lefty's probably drooling to talk about, we'll say hi to Evan Bell in the comments. Good to see you. Evan Bell actually lives about 20 minutes away from Graybo's, so Duke and I have met Evan face-to-face. Good to see you. And a lot of good chat happening in the live chat. So we appreciate all you guys for that. All right, Lefty, I know this is what you really want to talk about. The MLB draft. The MLB draft was yesterday. And I'm just going to throw up a couple things real quick and then let Lefty go here. So Paul Skeens was the #1 overall pick from LSU. He had some cards sell. The 2023 Panini USA Stars and Stripes multicolored patch auto happened to be the serial number 10 out of 10, sold for almost $400, $391. He had several other cards sell yesterday, and they ranged from like Stars and Stripes autos to a Leaf auto sold for $299. A lot of Paul Skeens cards sold, actually. So like there's an Onyx auto in there, which I know we're going to talk about that throughout the show. Onyx. Several Onyx autos for around $100. One red auto close to $200. That's out of 25. So Onyx, Leaf, and Panini Stars and Stripes. None of these are really licensed, although I guess you could say that Panini Stars and Stripes is licensed for USA Baseball, I believe. And then of course, I want to ask Lefty a couple questions about some of the other guys drafted yesterday, but MLB draft, Lefty, comment on it, my man.
I think the MLB recently went to doing the draft in the All-Star break, and I don't think that could have been a better decision from the MLB. Like, putting it right now at the MLB All-Star break, we just watched the College World Series kind of wrap up, so you saw Skeens and Cruz win this College World Series. I think it's a great move by the MLB to put it in this All-Star festivities weekend. But of course, you know, like I had, my little intern, Turner texted me and he goes, "Hey, do you know anything about these guys already?" And I was like, "Yes, I do. I've been," you know, like 4 months ago, I started diving into stuff, but I've been following college baseball still. And so especially this top half, has 5 #1 players out of, you know, any other draft, they would have been 1-1. And this is the deepest draft since 2011, which saw just some incredible baseball players get to the major leagues very quickly. And I think that's what you'll see here is typically when you do the draft, you're waiting several years. You know, like think about Lawler and Marcelo Meyer and some of those guys that we're still waiting on to, and we're investing in, all of us probably, but have time before they get to the MLB. Paul Skeens could be there now. I mean, like, he would be a reliever now, but they're going to take their time with him. But he's going to be a number one for Pittsburgh. And that's really fun to see, because this team, as we've talked about Pittsburgh a lot, and I think this, not only you're not going to see, you're going to see Paul Skeens cards go for a lot, but I think this vaults the rest of the Pittsburgh Pirates cards. I think like, we'll see that crop of guys that we love dearly, you know, everywhere from Nick Gonzalez to O'Neill Cruz. We're going to see guys get a little flare of a price jump because this team is going to be televised, and these media markers are going to be there when Paul Skeens gets to the top and gets that number one, when he's their ace. And you have Indy and O'Neill Cruz and Nick Gonzalez and, you know, like, you, Henry Davis, you have all those guys on the field. That's going to be a fun team to watch. So you've got a lot of, you've got a lot of talent here. And of course, draft festivities are just awesome. I think any draft is fun to watch, I think, but MLB is one of my favorites, but I think the future game was definitely more card related of the weekend. So.
Yeah, so we'll let you comment on the Futures game here in a second, because that was another big event. Related to the draft, though, I could not agree with you more. And now we have, so with these cards, though, I think on this show for the last kind of 18 months to 24 months, we've talked about Bowman prospecting, the Bowman first, the variations, the autos, everything. That's always what is going to have the most long-term value. And then we talk about selling at the call up, and that kind of being one of the tried and true ways to make money flipping baseball cards. But now it seems to me that within the last 24 hours, there's another opportunity that is happening here, which is if you have the knowledge of a Kendall Lefty McKee or of a Chad Gill, where you're following these guys during the College World Series or leading up to it, and you can find like a cheaper auto from one of these sets, like a Leaf or a Panini Stars and Stripes. Paul Skeens was a catcher in the Leaf card, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, but anyway, two-way player.
And then have a flip opportunity on draft day. This is a new play that we've never talked about before. A quick flip, of course. These cards are not going to hold value very long. When draft comes out in December, all of these cards, they're not going to have any value. But between the I think the tricky part, though, Lefty, is like, would you have known? I mean, like, would the average baseball fan or collector have known to have bought a Skeens or a Cruz card 4 months ago? Or, you know, because I think 3 or 4 months ago would have been the time where you probably could have bought it for, like, quote unquote, dirt cheap. I don't know that you could have bought it for dirt cheap during the College World Series. Like, I, you know, but did you follow the card, these cards at all leading up to this? Or is this a new, like, are we onto something here? And if so, like, what would kind of be the timeline and the process that you would recommend for the audience to follow maybe next year? I'm not recommending that you go out and buy these cards now. This would be a bad idea, because this is the hype spike that we're seeing these prices now. But I'm talking about for next year, as a play to mark your calendars, to do a little bit of research around who the guys could be leading up to the College World Series, who could be the top picks a month after the College World Series, and obviously make those plays next year.
Yeah, not every player plays for the USA team, so it's just like, Paul Skeens was a guy that was high profile coming into LSU. His transfer status from Air Force was pretty notable, because he got he left the Air Force and he was able to kind of get that all figured out about how he's able to go into the major leagues rather than spend service time and things like that. But Dylan Cruz was definitely a guy early on that was going to be the 1-1. Everybody thought he was going to be 1-1, and then he signed with Scott Boras, which scared off the Pirates because of how much money he was demanding. So these guys, they were already who they were going into the draft. What I think is a unique guy is a Langford type person or a Max Clark type player was a guy that we could have invested in early, because they ended up going 3 and 4. But those guys, that auto right there for $51 would have been super cheap in like January or February. And this guy was the best outfielder, high schooler already at that point. And so I think, yes, this is the play we could make next year. It's, I don't know if every one of the years is going to have this many guys that, that could go 1-1. I think we could have had an opportunity to do that for five or six guys here in this draft. But next year, I mean, it could be two or three guys. And so it's just depending on what we're seeing. That what we do at Just Baseball is scout these guys pretty heavily. So this is maybe is another niche for us to be able to make some money. But yeah, so this is a super fun draft. I think these guys, the high schoolers won't, but the college bats will move very quickly. And then Skeens, they're going to take their time with him in terms of getting him stretched out because he's going to be a starter. But they're going to give him some time for that elbow to relax for a little bit. He probably won't pitch the rest of the year. And then he'll start in 2024. But we could see him accelerate pretty fast. But it would not shock me if the other two bats are within 2024, 2025 timeframes.
Yeah, I think it's going to be draft dependent, year dependent, and player dependent, right? Because they're all different scenarios. Card Banker 20 is in the house and said, I would look at the TV ratings for the MLB draft. Only 600 viewers compared to 3.7 million for NBA draft night. Might be a bit of a reach to invest that early. Could be. I mean, I see the point there. The proof is in the data in terms of the pricing on the cards, I think is what I'm less concerned with, like the overall market size of the draft compared to the NBA. Like we know, to Lefty's point, they just moved it. Like I think 2 years ago, this might be its third year to where it's like actually in a slot where it makes sense for people to watch it. Traditionally the MLB draft. Yeah. Okay. Card Banker, 600,000. Yeah. That makes more sense. 600,000 versus 3.7 million.
I was like, anyway, I was one of 600 people.
600. I'm like, I was, yeah, Lefty and I were two of 600 wow. people. And my son Max was watching. So speaking of my son Max, he wants to know. This is for Lefty, and I want to know too.
Bring it on, Max.
Max was texting me. He's like, I hope the Tigers don't take Max Clark because he's going to go to Vanderbilt. And so I was like, okay, well, I guess that would suck if the Tigers blew a draft pick on that. But can you clarify for those of us who don't really understand the rules behind the MLB draft and the eligibility with college? Because does the team retain, like if Max Clark were to go to Vanderbilt, would the Tigers retain his rights for any period of time, or would they just lose that pick?
They would retain his rights until he entered the MLB draft again, I believe. This happens pretty commonly for guys later in the draft. Max Clark is not going to go to Vanderbilt. He's an absolute idiot if he does that. I mean, to be fair, I think he's an absolute idiot right now. But he's my least favorite of the five.
He's an idiot right now.
I was like, gosh, I hope he doesn't fall past three because I was afraid the Rangers would take him. And I was like, I don't want to watch this guy. I don't want to have to be a fan of this guy. And he went three, and I was like, that means we get Langford. Let's freaking go. And so I was a big Detroit Tigers fan yesterday because they helped.
I figured
the Rangers
that was
not,
the case.
Not make
I was going to text you, but I wanted to ask you on the show. So you were excited about the Tigers taking Max Clark. So your guy could fall to you at number four.
Yeah. I think Jenkins is a better player personally, or maybe not better player, but I think there's going to be some PR problems with Max. I think he's concerned about his own image.
His social media presence.
I mean, the guy has Louis Vuitton cleats in high school. You know, like, it's just like, just play the game, dude. And then you got Langford on the other side who Skypes in from, FaceTimes in from his bedroom. And he's just like, yeah, I'm pretty happy to be a Ranger. This is fun. He's got like random pictures and stuff in the background. It's just like, he's like, I'm just so happy to be there. I just want to grind away. And I'm just like, yes, that's the guy I want. I don't want to invest in Max Clark, even though he's probably going to have a bigger market share. But
that's right. That's exactly right. And that's why I'll probably invest in Max Clark.
That's fine. You can.
I know Chad's dying to get in here. Chad, what do you think of all this talk? Before we get to the futures game, what are your thoughts on the draft and this whole situation with these potential plays we're talking about with these cards and whatnot?
If you're going to get in on Cruz and Langford, those are the two guys out of the top five I think are going to be just solid.
And are they all going to have firsts in the draft product, guys, would you say? Like, who's going to Who do you think is going to be in the draft product out of all these guys?
Typically, they take out the second guy and they put him in baseball, Bowman baseball, which would be Cruz, if that's the case, that's a smart play, because Cruz is going to demand a whole lot of, like a lot of people are going to try to get him. So that could promote baseball, Bowman baseball in the spring. But I would assume all these guys have agents that are well enough known that they will be in draft. But I would assume Cruz is in baseball in April.
All right, Lefty, quick thoughts on the futures game. What do you think the impact the futures game this past weekend had on cards?
I loved it. I'm more excited about that personally, because when I look at guys that we're investing in, I'm like, okay, you know, like it kind of feels like, you know, we're just like Mad Deegans out here just trying to just do something, trying to make a little scratch. And then you have a futures game, and I texted the lineups to Paul and Chad. I'm like, these are all the guys that we're investing in. Like, that's good for us. I mean, when all of baseball says, yeah, these are the 15 best dudes that are coming up next, and we've got all their Bowman Chrome autos. Hell yeah, man. I'm totally in on that. So like watching Indy play on national television, like, and seeing his plate discipline with two walks. I mean, like, another thing is you get to see, for me, it's like, okay, these are the guys we're investing in. And then there's like five or six guys that even I've never heard of. And I'm just like, okay, yeah, maybe that's putting those guys on my radar. And then Nunez like has a day, and he's a Marlins prospect that's way down there. So it's just like, you know, I'm not going to go invest in Nunez just because he had one good game. You know, like a couple of years ago, we saw
Brennan Davis
go crazy in the All-Star game. And now look where he's at. So it's just like, it is something, but I think it's so fun to see all these guys that we invest in on one field together. And it, like, I mean, Crawford was up there, and I've been a little bit like, I don't really know. Is this guy going to be, you know, is he just an athletic name, or is this guy going to be a major leaguer? And he really impressed me with his plate discipline and like the swings he was taking in his vision. And so I pulled out all my Justin Crawford chromes and sleeved them, because I'm like, okay, I'm going to get these in my next Spencer Jones mask. So it's just like, there's some stuff there that is super, super fun to watch. And I think that matters more than the draft right now.
Yeah, for sure. I loved when you texted Chad and I the rosters, because I think that's an opportunity to, if there's guys on that roster that you haven't purchased yet, knowing that the rosters are announced you know, a week or so before the game, I think could be a buying opportunity. But Chad, what do you think about card plays in and around the futures game?
I don't know as though the futures are going to drive their prices at all, but like Lefty said, it's certainly going to draw some people's attention to them. York has been a guy that I've been watching for a while, and boy, did he have a game. It made me go out, and I bought some York cards last night. I've been looking at them. I just haven't pulled the trigger on them, and I bought some York cards last night based on the futures game. So I think there could be some of that. I don't think it really drives their price as much, but it sure was fun to watch.
Yeah.
I did like to see Jackson Churio batting third. You know, he's a guy that I heavily invested in. I don't think he did anything in the game, but I agree with Lefty. It's good to see the hype happened for these guys. Any other thoughts on this, Lefty, before we segue into something? We need Duke's help. Duke's the resident betting expert of the team here, so we need to get his involvement in a bet that we have to talk about. But before we get to that, Lefty, any sort of final thoughts for the segment on the MLB futures game?
Yeah, I think I loved the fact, or I just wanted to tease Chad for a second, because this is his second light going off. But Chad was talking about York, and he had a game high 5 runners left on base. So, you know, so go ahead and invest that guy.
See, I'm looking at the box score related stuff always with this, because like, I feel like that's simpleton. And Lefty's looking at like plate discipline and runners left on base. That's the knowledge gap between Lefty and I. And I'm not sure which is more relevant for cards, but I think that's where we meet in the middle and become a good team. So, all right. So Duke Denny one time Dotson, we need your help with a bet here. We need to clarify something that I said on the show and that Chad and Lefty have challenged me about, and that is we need to clarify the Aaron Rodgers bet, guys. Because I've said he sucks. I don't like him. I don't like him at all. He's probably my least favorite professional athlete of all time. I would maybe put Tom Brady at the second least, right up there with Aaron Rodgers, but I'm going to have to just hate on Aaron Rodgers the most. And I think I said something like in a past episode, like they're not going to win four games or something like that. And then Lefty and Chad wanted to place a bet on this. And so I want to clarify the Aaron Rodgers bet. I would like to say that the Jets miss the playoffs. Duke, what do you think? If you're going to bet on something, I know you could probably go on one of the sportsbook apps and do like a simple bet of probably win total wins, like over under total wins on teams. And is there a bet somewhere on a sportsbook app that just to miss the playoffs? Like how would you clarify the Aaron Rodgers bet between myself versus Lefty and Chad?
Here we go. I'm pulling up FanDuel now. Give me 1 second. So for the Jets, it's to make the playoffs is -134. So that means it's a pretty close to even money, but they're slightly favored to make it. That's one way to look at it. So you could just simply, if you guys are gentlemen, you could probably just make that even money bet. Or if total wins, I can look that up as well.
Okay.
Yeah, that either way is a fun way to do it. Give me one more second. Exact regular season wins. Ready? Let's see. New York Jets. They are – the even money there is around – let's see, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. That's not the exact regular season wins is not the right way. Win totals, sorry, is the right category. So win totals, 9.5 is the over under.
Okay. So I'm a little bit extreme with my four wins. I would like to clarify the Aaron Rodgers bet as I say Jets miss the playoffs. Chad, is this acceptable to you?
Yeah, I'll still take that bet. What do you think, Lefty?
I'll take it, but I really think that Paul has to eat crow by saying they're not going to win four games. So I think the overall bet could be the playoffs, but if he wins more than four games, I think he's got to do something.
You could do like a penalty for every win above four. Paul has to do something else, and it ratchets up. It gets worse and worse each time.
Okay, so what is that going to be then? I mean, like what happened like left
the,
you just
like the fifth win you lose? Have to. The fifth win, you got to like buy an Aaron Rodgers card. Like the sixth win, you've got to, you know, name your son Aaron.
Yeah. I was going to say wear an A-Rod jersey on the podcast.
That's if they make the playoffs, Denny. We are making Paul buy a New York Jets Aaron Rodgers jersey and wearing it for the whole week's podcasts. Like,
all right.
Show and tell, golf, whatever.
I love it.
So what if we do this layered thing? So like, how about this? So if the Jets, how about after their fifth win, I have to buy a Cal jersey, a Cal Aaron Rodgers jersey.
Card banker, that is an excellent comment. Send Paul on a darkness retreat just like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, if they win the Super Bowl, you got to take ayahuasca.
Okay, yeah. I like this. So if on the fifth win, I have to buy an Aaron Rodgers Cal jersey. On the ninth win, I have to buy an Aaron Rodgers Packers jersey. If they make the playoffs, I have to buy an Aaron Rodgers Jets jersey. And then because all three things have happened at that point, I have to wear each jersey on a consecutive episode of the show during the NFL playoffs. How about that?
Fair. That sounds fair. Let's do it.
And if they win a Super Bowl, then I have to go on the darkness retreat.
That sounds reasonable. Now, what's the other side of the bet? Just to protect you as your advisor, I think you should get something on the other side of the bet.
This is why you're here. This is a great segue into why you're here.
If they only win four games, we will buy an Aaron Rodgers Jets jersey and light it on fire on the live show.
Okay. So if they only win four... I don't know. I think we should go if they miss the playoffs, that's what you do. But what should you do if they only win four games?
Dude, that's not going to happen.
It could. It's the NFL.
We
got to go through this. We got to clarify the Aaron Rodgers bet for us and for the audience.
No, for just for the audience's sake, the Jets do, according to NFL, have the fourth most difficult schedule in the NFL this year. So when they make the playoffs, it's going to be that much sweeter.
I don't know, Denny, what do you think?
You guys would need to return the favor and wear something that's against your morals and principles.
Yeah, like here's what I was thinking. So my idea was that I haven't really express this that much on this show, but I'm a huge Michigan State Spartans fan, and I would love to drum up some national attention for my Michigan State Spartans. So what I was thinking is something along the lines of Chad and Lefty would have to buy nice, authentic Michigan State Spartans football and basketball jerseys and then wear them during a big Michigan State football game, hopefully a bowl game in January, or during March Madness for the basketball. Something along those lines. What would you guys be willing to do?
I mean, I'd be willing to do that either way, but
there you go.
I feel like we're getting it out kind of easy.
Yeah, okay. Does a Magic Johnson jersey count?
A Magic Johnson Michigan State jersey absolutely counts. This could be Michigan State jersey. All right. I think we're good. What do you think, Duke? Would you add anything to this? I just wanted to clarify the bet on the show so that we would have something set in stone so that we could refer to when I win what these guys have to do. Because Aaron Rodgers sucks.
As long as you guys are clear on it, I'm happy with it. It sounds great to me.
All right, sounds good. Well, we'll move along here. Let's get into L of the week. So, Duke, since you're on right now, what's your L of the week?
So the W, I'm kind of hinting what my W is going to be, but the L, we as Graybos, we worked our first card show this Saturday as a vendor. It's a local card show. Another, like one of our competitors, a shop in town, set up a show, and it's a pretty good community here, so we all kind of supported. So we had a table. We had several tables at this card show. This customer comes up, and he puts three cards on the counter, and we're negotiating a trade or a purchase, and I kind of leaned forward to look at them. And the table collapses and everything flies off wax. His cards, everything just flies off the table. And one of his cards was a Jalen Hurts in a one touch, and it popped open, fell out, got dinged up. And so we felt responsible. It wasn't our fault because whoever set the table up is their fault, but it was our booth. So we felt responsible. So the only card that got hurt was his Jalen Hurts college jersey in this one touch. And so we basically had to buy it from him at full value before it got dinged. Which we did. So that's my L of the week is our stuff spilling everywhere. Luckily, the customer caught our laptop. Thank God. That was the most valuable thing probably on that particular table. But it was quite a scene.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow, that's crazy. Wow. Well, of course you did the right thing because you're an amazing person and a great, great businessman. So that's not surprised there, but that sucks. Sorry to hear that. So
we have a Jalen Hurts. Probably PSA 4 out there for anybody that wants it.
Hey, could be part of a future premium pack. Maybe I'll buy it from you. Put it in a premium
pack. Sure.
Lefty, what do you think, man? What's your L of the week?
That story is my L of the week. Golly. My L of the week is I got just sunburned like crazy. And everything on me itches and... I mean, it's just terrible. But that's my L of the week. Another L of the week is that with Nunez doing well at the Futures game, no one's card prices really spiked. And I was looking forward to one of the guys getting like a ton of publicity from like a from being the MVP of the game. To be fair, I don't even care at all about Nunez. He's a contact hitter, and so like he's going to be a major leaguer, but he's not going to be a guy that I'm going to invest in. And so I wanted, you know, him or Cuero or Indy or, you know, like Churio or somebody like that to just ball out at the futures game. And that did not happen. So that's my L of the week.
Yeah, that L of the week from Duke is definitely like could be enough for all of us, all of our L's of the week. For
welcome
sure.
Back to the comments, Derek.
Derek, good to see you. Derek Kunzman in the house said that card falling on the floor really hurts. Sorry, man. And I would love to know actually from the live chat what your guys' L's of the week are as well. But Chad, over to you. What's your L of the week?
Well, I sent my L of the week, I think, to you and Lefty. I was super excited. I bought a Shohei Ohtani rookie card that looked and appeared to be packed fresh mint. I got it for, $31 with shipping, which was about $10 less than what they're going for now. So I was super excited, sniping it, staying up late. The guy sent it in a bubble wrap envelope, so I thought I was good, and I opened it up, and the card was bent completely in half. He did not properly ship the card. So this week, show and tell, spoiler alert, I am going to be doing a show and tell on how to properly ship your cards because that one hurt. The guy has not yet responded to me, so I'm thinking I'm going to have to open up an eBay case, which also hurts. If I don't hear from him today, I'm going to have to file a claim and see if I can fight my way out of this. I know it's only $30 with tax and shipping, but that sucks. It was a really nice Ohtani.
Yeah, it's a Topps 2018. Was it chrome or paper?
It was a paper. It was an update. It was the update with him pitching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good grief.
Yeah, that sucks. That's definitely an L. And I hear you on like having to put in the extra effort. Just the whole experience, like you were excited. You texted multiple pictures. It was like mail day and it's like all these packages and then like, oh crap, like this Ohtani card was bent and then I just felt bad for you. So that was a bummer. All right, get ready to feel bad for me and Chad's going to cringe. My L of the week is so I'm always experimenting because, you know, part of the reason I experiment is for you all in the audience. I want you to know what my experience is doing these things so that we can talk about it. And I'm really not afraid to lose money. And I think that that's a good thing. And that's also a really bad thing. And so my L of the week and my advice is don't crack and resubmit PSA grades. So let me be a little more specific. So Chad and I already talked about this and we've talked about this on the show, but I took a lot of risks in March with the crack and submit the PSA. So an example is I bought a 1986 Fleer Akeem Olajuwon SGC 8, thinking it would cross over into a PSA 8. It did not. It got a PSA 7. I said, screw that PSA. I'm going to crack open the 7 and send it back to you. Well, it got a 6. That was not the only card that this happened to me on. The Kobe Bryant SGC 10 that I bought got a PSA 9. I said, screw you, PSA. I'm going to send it back to you. Cracked it. It got an 8. Wait, there's more. I said, oh, no, my friend. This HGA 9.5 Shohei Ohtani 2018 Bowman paper is not a 9 because it was an HGA 9.5. It's not a PSA 9. No, it's not. Let me crack it out and send it to you again. Well, it got a 6. Okay, there's more. Trevor Lawrence, SGC 10 2021 Donruss Press Proof Red was an SGC 10, got a PSA 9. I said, nope, it's a PSA 10. Let me send it back to you. Why don't you guys all look at it again, friends, over at PSA? They said, hey, Paul, here's our middle finger. It's an 8. So here's... Here's my takeaway.
Did any of them play out?
Here's my takeaway, guys. Don't crack PSA slabs and send them back to PSA. I'm never going to do it again. No, Lefty. The only one that played out was like, I think I did this with like 8 cards. I showed you the worst 4. I think the only thing that actually went somewhat my way was a couple Michael Jordan cards that were nines came back nines again. Like, there was not one time did it work in my favor. So that's so hilarious. Chad, that's my L of the week.
Ouch.
Give it to me. Give it to me.
I don't have lessons learned. Sometimes school of hard knocks is the way that it kind of sinks in the best. Ouch.
Yep. Exactly. I saw you laughing. What's your take on this, man?
What Chad said, man, you live and you learn, and you went through that, so all of us don't have to. So that's great. We appreciate you.
Hey, you're welcome. And actually, like, I actually kind of did go through that for that reason. So,
I mean, that's kind of a really nice way to say I told you so.
It is. Well, from PSA.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. It is what it is. I mean, the thing was, I made the decision, you know, to Duke's point, it's like, I didn't get the grade that I wanted in the first place. And so I was like, well, let me just do this and then let the audience know what happened. And so there it is. All right, Duke, over to you for happier notes. What's your win of the week?
So the flip side of that story was that our first card show, it was a huge success for not just for us, but for the whole kind of Richmond community. We, you know, starting a card shop, it's like starting five different businesses. I think I told you that on the podcast. Like, you have the retail shop, you have breaks, like just eBay and other online sales, and then card shows. Like, you need a whole nother set of employees. You need a whole nother set of inventory because our shop is open on a Saturday at the same time that the card show is going on a Saturday. And so you need setup. You need, you know, pop-up banners and tablecloths and all other kinds of equipment. So it was just a fun – I actually worked it with Anthony from our shop, who I think you met. And it was cool to see how many Richmond sports card collectors and investors there are. Because in our shop, you saw on a Saturday, we might get 20, 30 – maybe 40 people come through, but at this show, there were several hundred people. Some traveled from a couple hours away. I think there were 75 tables set up in little old Richmond, Virginia. And so normally Richmond card shows are at this really kind of small dinky hotel. There might be a 30 or 40 tables, but this kind of showed everybody what it could look like. And we had a great day of sales. We sold wax, we sold singles, we bought a lot, traded a lot. So it was just a good day for the Richmond sports card community. So I was pretty excited.
That's great, man. That's really exciting. I saw on your IG account some of the videos from the day, and it got me really pumped up. So congrats, and everybody go, you know, be sure to check that out if you can in the Richmond area. I know we've got some listeners over there, so we'd love it if you guys hook up with Duke, see what you can do to get involved in that community. Lefty, over to you for your win of the week, man.
My win of the week is that while I was in Costa Rica, I had seven cards sale. And so my win of the week was getting my number one employee / my wife experienced on how to print and ship eBay. And I had all of them laid out. You know, if this card sells, this is the one. You know, if this card sells, like, this is the one. So that was fun to kind of get her a little bit more involved in the family business, if you will. But as we talked about, the futures game in the MLB draft is a great weekend for baseball, a great weekend for card collectors. And another win of the week is Kai Jones just hammering Wimby with a poster, which was just beautiful. You know, like, I'm not anti Wimby, but like, just for that guy to get his time in the limelight, you know, and his cards did spike, by the way. They went from about $1 to $3. So
there you go.
Pretty impressive.
There you go. Time to sell Kai Jones. You need Wemby to do well, because you're still invested in several of those Topps Now cards. So don't forget, you can't root against Wemby.
I did get my juggling Topps Now cards this weekend and did not get a parallel. So
yeah, neither did I. Chad, did you get a parallel? I already know the answer to this, but the audience doesn't.
I did not get a parallel with mine either.
Well, what was your win of the week, Chad?
My win of the week was I sold my final Jordan Walker card from one of my plays that I did earlier this spring. As I always say, I participate in what I write. So on May 1st, I sent in a 20-card submission on my Jordan Walker Chrome First. I did a show and tell reveal on the results of it, and I sold my final card yesterday. So the results are in. I had $820 invested in the 20 card play, and after fees and shipping and everything else, I made $470. So a little bit better than a 50% return on investment. So I thought I'd share the results, but that's a win.
Chad bringing it strong. Love it. Chad's other win, for those of you who don't know, go back and watch the Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell. He did a cannonball into the pool during his submission. and that was a request from an audience member. So he said, you ask for it, you get it. So there you go. My win of the week, one win was my main men, Lefty and Chad, put their heads together. They did this without even me saying anything about it. They just said, hey, look, we're going to write Paul an amazing article. We're going to co-author it together. And it's going to be how to make money buying 2023 Bowman Chrome first prospects. So basically they put together the top 16 prospects to buy out of 2023 Bowman baseball. And the article is at nooffseason.com. So you've got to check that out. They did an amazing job. And I'm learning a lot from them, and you should as well. My win of the week, to prove I'm not a total moron related to grading cards, I did buy a Jalen Hurts 2020 Optic Holo SGC 10 for $246.94. I cracked it. I did get a PSA 10, so I didn't need to crack it again and send it back to PSA. Thank God. And they are currently going for $335. Now, part of this strategy is that we expect these cards. Part of the strategy was doing it when I did it, which was a couple months ago, because we expect them, these cards, to go up. So on one hand, it's like, well, it looks like I will profit close to $100, but I think really it's that this card will go up. So I'm excited to be holding a PSA 10 Jalen Hurts 2020 Optic Holo heading into the NFL season, and I probably will sell it in August. And so just real quick before we go to who we're buying and who we're selling, Rusty in the comments says, obviously PSA is watching the show waiting for my crack plays, and Shoes says, no tens for you in the soup Nazi voice. Barusky, his L is that he's almost 30 hours of no sleep. Took the red eye from San Diego to New York City, and now he's driving back to Philly. Barusky, thanks for checking in on the live stream, man. We love you. We wanted to give you the shout out. All right, so I'm going to go real quick on who I'm buying, and a quick shout out to Mike LaCusta, who's my co-host on the Golf Card Strategy Show. He had another baby. I think it's his second or third child in his family, I think. So congrats to Mike LaCusta, and in honor of your new addition to your family, I bought a Scottie Scheffler card. This is my first ever golf card that I've ever purchased. Scottie Scheffler 2017 SI for Kids rookie. I was eyeing this card for a long time. Reason being, it's his only real card. He's got another SI for Kids card in a subsequent year that's not valuable because it's not his rookie, but the 2017 SI for Kids Scottie Scheffler card is really his only investable card. There's no Upper Deck cards of him. There's no real autos of him or anything like that that I'm aware of. There might be some Leaf or something like that, but PSA 5. I bought a PSA 5 Scottie Scheffler 2017 SI for Kids, and at a $225 asking price, I made an offer of $99. It was accepted. It's a pop 7 of this particular card with only 6 graded higher. I believe that this is probably not a huge win, but I think it's a win in the future in that I believe Scottie Scheffler will win another major. And when he does, I'm going to sell that card. Or he will, you know, I think he's the number one golfer in the world, so he's going to win tournaments. I'm going to sell that Scottie Scheffler card and be just fine with what I make off of it. Duke's nodding his head. What do you think, Duke, and who are you buying right now?
Yeah, love the Scheffler play. I think him and Rahm are like the best two golfers to invest in for the next decade, probably. So we're looking at buying now based on we're going to the National in Chicago, and then we're going to the Burbank show a month later, which is right at the beginning of football season as a we're gonna have a table there as a vendor. At the National, we're just gonna come and hang out and kind of buy and sell as a customer. But so we are basically looking to, as a shop, buy as much as we can now, football wise, to sell at those two places, because I think that might be, that's your window of like selling football, right? Is the National till Burbank, till football season starts. So, I mean, nothing too groundbreaking here. What we're seeing already locally is folks just gobbling up Burrow, Hurts, Allen, Herbert, Trevor. Because we're going to the National, I would throw Justin Fields in there, being that's in Chicago. And then we're selling a ton of Pickett, Ritter, Purdy, and Love right now for folks that are kind of speculating on those guys. So if we can get them at a good deal now, we're going to bring them in hordes to those two shows to try to sell. And then the one quarterback that we're buying more of than other people right now is probably Lamar. I am heavily investing in Lamar. I just think he's going to have a good start to the year with his new weapons, and not many people are talking about him. And if you look at Lamar specifically, same year, same rookie class as Josh Allen, you look at the difference in their prices, it's like 3 or 4x the difference in price. So I think there's a lot of movement for Lamar, a lot of upside there. On the skill position, like non-quarterback side, we're kind of keeping it. We don't buy a lot of those guys, but we'll buy some. And the ones that we see selling in the next month would be Jefferson, Chase, Garrett Wilson, Olave, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. And the running backs, we certainly don't buy a lot of running backs, but the two we think we're going to sell the most in the next month are Bijan and McCaffrey. So those are the guys that we are kind of loading up on for those two shows.
Awesome. So you guys kind of put your head together and say, all right, with the shows coming up, let's put together a strategy. And it came back football pretty much.
Yeah, we think we're going to sell a lot of football there, and we're going to try to buy a lot of basketball at those two shows. So like kind of just being a couple months ahead of the curve is the goal.
Cool. Anyone else you're selling? You mentioned some guys in there, but since you did that, I'll just go ahead and tell us who else you're selling.
Because this is Monday before the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game, watching both of those with and whoever shines at those two events. Like last year, you saw a ton of movement on Soto and J-Rod because of the Home Run Derby. And so if somebody really has a splash at the Derby tonight, I think that would be cool to sell those guys. And then in the All-Star Game itself, unless somebody has to really stand out for their prices to move. But I do think the young guys could be the ones that stand out. Like if Jung or Corbin Carroll for the Diamondbacks, those guys, I think Carroll's prices are already kind of elevated a little bit because he's had a great year. But to me, it's like the All-Star Game could be when the general public finds out about these young guys. And so I'm kind of watching them. And then also gearing up for the Women's World Cup that I've been investing in for several months because of Lefty. Now it's about that time to start getting ready to sell those folks because that hype is starting.
Cool. Lefty, who are you buying, man?
I'm buying Chet right now. He played really well in preseason in his first game, and I was like, all right, that's enough for me. I'm going to rebuy into him. I'm excited about it as a Thunder fan. Man, couldn't be.
I think he's going to be great, honestly. I think he's going to be legit.
Couldn't be a better time to be a Thunder fan. You know, like everybody just we had the gravel drag of life over the last couple of years, and I'm excited about it. I also have been buying Alyssa Thompson Onyx Autos. Really excited about her and doing what she's doing. And I think just for the sake of the argument, I followed and bid on some PSA 10 Corbin Carrolls this week because of his shoulder injury. I was like, maybe people will end up going a little cheaper, blah, blah, blah. And Chad, it sold for $130. And so it's just like his PSA 10 Chrome is over that 125 mark we thought would be there. And so it's just like, that's a big deal for us. So I think we should be listing our Corbin Carroll Chromes. So that's who I'm going to sell, but it's from who I have been buying. And I also was really impressed with Justin Crawford, like I said earlier. So I'm going to make a Justin Crawford play. So Justin Crawford, Alyssa Thompson, Chet Holmgren,
Alyssa Thompson, you're buying, and Corbin Carroll and Justin Crawford, you're preparing to sell.
Well, I'm buying Crawford, so that I can sell eventually because I don't have
it. Okay. So. Buying Crawford, buying Thompson, buying Holmgren, selling Carroll, or buying and selling Carroll?
Selling Carroll.
Selling Carroll. Anyone else you're selling?
Yeah, I'm also selling. I just Wimby. You know, like I'm still selling Wimby.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know, like it's kind of funny to be like panic selling out of his first bad game in the summer league. But you know, like most of us got his cards so cheap.
He's just gonna have more and more cards come out. So I think it's the right move to really be moving off of most of your Wembys. So.
And I don't know if y'all talked about this last week because I don't know when we got it, but Sports Illustrated for Kids World Cup Edition has all of
Oh my God, I don't have mine yet. I've been just looking out for the next Sports Illustrated for Kids. Is that for kids or is that the Yeah, it says kids on it.
So all my home girls are on the front of it. So I'm pretty excited about this.
That's
one.
Awesome. That's awesome.
And I was like, oh, maybe they just went balls to the wall and literally did all 9 soccer players, which I would have loved, but that did not happen. But there is a Caleb Williams right here. So I'm definitely excited about this one. There's nobody like super. I mean, they have an Erling Haaland one in here, but you know, he has 1.5 million cards already. So this Caleb Williams Sports Illustrated for Kids is going to be graded from me, but I might just grade this whole magazine because I love it.
That's super cool, man. All right, Chad, over to you for who you're buying.
My buying is going to be a little bit of a might be a little bit of a surprise here. I'm going basketball, and I am going Miles Bridges.
Oh, my Sparty, let's go. The resurgence.
The reason I'm going Miles Bridges is he's been out of basketball for a while, domestic abuse. He was a hell of a player coming before he got suspended. He still has a 10-game suspension to start the new year, but the Hornets signed him to a $7.9 million one-year deal. And what do we know about players that are on a contract year? They ball out. So the fact that somebody took the chance on him, gave him basically an $8 million contract, and now he's playing for his life this year, I believe this guy is going to come back and people are going to be like, holy crap, where did this guy come from? You can buy his silver raw for around $8 to $10. So, and they've got a 50% gem rate. So I bought 9 of them over the weekend. I'm going to try and get to 20 of them at $10 a piece. I'll have $200 invested with grading. I'll have, you know, $400 with grading and shipping. And if it pays off, I think this could 5, 6, 7x my money. Cause I could see this PSA 10 doing $150, $200, $250 if he really does have a good year. So that's who I'm buying. And I didn't do it. I was going to do it in an article and I thought, no, I'll share it on the show.
This is why Chad is the sports card doctor, because he knows what he's talking about. My guy, Miles Bridges, is a baller. He is a beast. I'm telling you right now, I 100% agree with Chad. I made money off of his, I think it's a 2018 rookie, Silver Prism, a couple years ago when he came out and won, I think he won NBA Player of the Month in the Eastern Conference in November, a couple years ago. And I had an SGC 10 that I had graded from raw to SGC 10. And I think I made a couple $100 on that play. So Miles Bridges, I love that call. Chad, great call. Who are you selling, man?
I am selling Trey Lance. And the reason I'm selling Trey Lance is the San Francisco quarterback situation is a mess. It looks like he is going to be possibly even behind Darnold. They tried to trade him. Nobody wanted him. But yet here's the really surprising thing. When you go into Market Movers and you pull up his Donruss, his Prism, his Select, all of the major brands, his cards right now are up anywhere from 8% on the lowest to 124% in the last 60 days. I have no idea how that's possible. I don't know if people are speculating that he's going to get traded and he's going to get a job. I got news for you, people. It's too late for him to get traded and to get a job, a starting job this year. Sell now while his cards are up.
Interesting. All right, I'm selling. I'm advising. I don't actually own any of these guys' cards anymore, so I'm not personally selling them. But I'm advising that you look at potentially selling your Elly De La Cruz cards and your Oscar Piastri cards. Oscar Piastri is a guy that I've talked a lot about on the show.
Oscar Piastri.
Lefty does not have his McLaren hat on today. He has his Just Baseball hat on, but Oscar Piastri finished fourth. So shout out to Rob Masora from Bob's Card Market, who texted me, might want to advise people to sell their Piastri cards. And then Elly De La Cruz, I mean, his prices are just, they're up a ridiculous amount. And I know we love this guy, but like, this could be a sell now, buy back in later type of situation with Ellie. I like him long term. I'm not saying don't invest in him as a long term play. But if you bought Elly De La Cruz cards and you're actually in a position where you could like 5x this investment based on the numbers that we've talked about on the show, I would recommend doing that and then buying back in later. There's a December dip in all sports cards that would allow you to buy back into both of these guys if you like them long term. Make a little bit of money now. Lefty magically has his McLaren hat on as we're segueing into a favorite segment of ours from the past that we're bringing back.
Before we get to that,
go ahead, Lefty. Yeah. I want to add one thing too. So go ahead, Lefty. You go first.
That McLaren was flying at Silverstone this week. You know, you had Lando quali two, finish two. Piastri got kind of burned with a yellow flag there, but would have quali three, finished four. Man, super impressed with my guys in the papaya. So,
Chad, what do you have to add?
I want to throw out something a little bit controversial here, just to controversial stuff is good for viewership, right? I am going to go on record right now and say that as awesome as Corbin Carroll has been, this little bit of an injury opens the door for something that nobody thought could happen. The Ellie hype the train is building steam, and it is full steam ahead. Elly De La Cruz wins Rookie of the Year.
But does that affect his card pricing to the point where it actually goes up? Because Lefty and I have talked about – okay, Chad says yes. Okay. All right. Controversial. Is that more controversial than buying Miles Bridges? I don't know.
No, I'm going all out to try and get some ratings this week, Paul.
I love it.
I mean, for a guy that talked about his ethical pursuit of not selling dead players, but you're going to buy a domestic violence card.
I thought about wearing a tank top, you know, one of the proverbial wife beaters for this, but I'm at work and couldn't get away with it.
That would have been something right there for sure. That would have maybe gotten more ratings than your cannonball. I don't know. Okay, before we segue into one of our favorite segments from the past, Chad was an audience member turned analyst, and he said that what we're about to do next was one of his favorite segments. Leslie Alegria is in the house. Just wanted to say hello to Leslie. She has her SI for Kids women's soccer edition, and she's very excited about the Women's World Cup coming up. She is Shoes' better half, for those of you who don't know. And so normally at this point in the show, we take audience Q&A. So let's take one Q&A, and then let me explain what we're doing. We are moving the audience Q&A segment. The premium member Q&A will be answered in the Overflow show, which will always air later on in the week for premium members only. So get your questions in still in the live chat, and we will answer them on the show. But if you're a premium member, we will be answering your questions on the Overflow show. Tomorrow there will be an episode airing tomorrow for those of you who are premium members, and it will typically air on Fridays. I will be out of town this upcoming Friday with my family, so I'm going to do the Overflow show tomorrow, and Andy Kaysen will take my place on Monday on the show. So it'll be Chad, Lefty, and Andy. But let's get real quick question in before we go to this segment that I've been building up. Cardbanker 20 says, what do you guys think of Vlad Jr. and Louis Robert? I like both leading up to the HR Derby. Vlad Jr. may go on a power surge in the second half, and Louis Robert might get a spike at the trade deadline. Chad, you like the Heritage Chrome Purple Refractor. I like those for PC. Chad, what do you think about these guys for Card Banker 20? Thanks for the question.
Yeah, thanks for the question. I love the Heritage Purple Refractors. I've got an Ohtani. That's one of my favorite cards in my collection. I think the Heritage Purple Refractors are beautiful cards. So I agree. For PC, awesome cards. As far as the Vlad, I think Vlad is primed for a power surge at any point in time, as long as he stays healthy, because the guy is a beast. I like Robert, what he's been doing so far this year. I do think that Vlad wins the home run derby tonight.
Lefty card stuff with these guys. Duke says Vlad winning the derby. Is that what you're?
Yeah. If you look at the bracket, like the first round matchup, Alonso and J-Rod go head to head, which is like hurts, and that whole side's kind of loaded. So Vlad side's a little softer, and I'm taking Vlad tonight as well.
Duke's in FanDuel, just like ready for the derby. Yep. Lefty says no.
No way.
Cardbanker 20 sniped the Vlad purple last night for $55 PSA 10. Lefty, any comment on that before we get to the?
I'm not interested in investing in Vlad right now. His team is underperforming. We've seen his day already. I think. I think he will be a major leaguer for a long time, but I don't think we'll see massive, 2-3x spikes from now on. And I'm just interested in investing in other players. Not that I don't think he's great. Vladdy Sr. is one of my top five favorite players of all time. I'd rather invest in the next Vladdy, to be honest. Even in the next, his brother, like there's two brothers that are coming after him. I'd rather pay money to invest in them right now than I would Vladdy. But I do think Luis Robert, Lou Bob, is going to be some heavy trade bait. And if he gets traded, that's going to be a huge trade because he's a star. So
there you go. So thanks for the question, Card Banker 20. Brian Steeler 714, he's a premium member. Let's get this in right now. Lefty, what are your thoughts on Tatis Jr.?
If there was a straight gauntlet from those two players, I'm Tatis 100%.
There you go. Speaking of straight gauntlet, Lefty, great segue by you. So that's where we're going next. For those of you who are longtime listeners to the show, you'll remember this. For those of you who are new, we've talked about bringing this back for a while. It's the gauntlet. So basically what we do is we're going to tee up two cards at a time. Each of the four of us are going to pick the winner of the first round. So myself, Lefty, and Chad have a first round. Duke's going to make the picks with us. And then we're going to do the second round, and then we're going to have a winner. So we're going to go through this pretty quick, but we can add some commentary as well. First up is Chad's submission. So Lefty, you go first here. Chad's submission for Gauntlet first round from Chad is U.S. Women's National Team themed. Leslie, get pumped. Sophia Smith, 2021 Parkside NWSL rookie, auto blue ink out of 250, raw condition, $520 value, going up against her teammate in the Women's World Cup on Team USA, Trinity Rodman, 2021 Parkside NWSL rookie, auto raw condition, $585 value. Who are you taking, Lefty, between Sophia Smith and Trinity Rodman, if you had to pick one of these cards?
Dang, that's a good one. I'm going to take Sophia Smith because I think long-term, she is the better player on the field. She might have less goals, but she's going to be the better leader long-term. I think she's going to end up being the next mantle carrier for this team. There's going to be talent around her, obviously. So Alyssa and Trinity are going to be good, but I think Sophia Smith is the table setter for them. So I'm going to take Sophia.
Duke, I'm interested to your take on this. If you had to pick between these two athletes, Sophia and Trinity, who would you buy?
So I don't watch much women's soccer, so I like just listen to the lefties of the world that know more than me. But I, in this one, I'll take Trinity just because of the pedigree,
the name.
Like, people like me are more likely to overreact and overbuy that people that know who her dad is. So I'll take Trinity.
I am 100% with Duke on this for the exact same reason. I just have a sneaking suspicion that she's going to have a larger market because she's Dennis Rodman's daughter, even though they don't, I don't even think they have a relationship. I could be wrong on that. I don't think that they're like close. He's not like at the games, I don't think. Although I like Karl Malone and Cheryl Ford back in the day. Cheryl Ford was a phenomenal WNBA player, the daughter of Karl Malone. They were kind of in a similar situation with their relationship, but then they rekindled it. Karl Malone started coming around the games and it became like big media stories. So you could see that potentially with Trinity. And I think something like that would drive up her eBay searches like crazy. So I'm with Duke on that. But Chad, this was your submission. Do you have a vote here?
You're muted.
You're muted, Chad.
Sorry, I'm with Lefty. I just thought it was interesting. I was surprised when I was putting the gauntlet together that Rodman in a non-numbered auto sold for more than a numbered Sophia. So because the Sophia is numbered and because I think Sophia is the better player, I was leaning towards Sophia, and I thought that the name of Rodman would make this an interesting gauntlet. So
you were correct on that. It's 2-2. I'm gonna just say that the tiebreaker is the fact that the Sophia Smith is numbered. I think that's a great point by Chad. So let's move Sophia into the next round. So Sophia's in the next round. So she's gonna go up against one of these two cards. This is my submission. Actually, so basically I thought I would follow the Aaron Rodgers theme here. And so there's two, you pick between having two Aaron Rodgers 2005 Topps PSA 10s. They each have sold for a little over $300, or a Carlos Alcaraz 2022 Net Pro PSA 10, which sold for $650. So you can have these cards now. So think about this, like, what's your sports card strategy here? Where you would have an Alcaraz now for $650, or you would have two Aaron Rodgerses for about the same price. Chad, you go first.
For me, this is really easy. I think the Alcaraz card is a cool card, but it's such a small niche market yet in the tennis. I think because it is relatively a new card, you could see several more get graded at PSA, and the more population will drive down the value. And then you look at Aaron Rodgers, who is an established quarterback. For a future Hall of Famer to have a $300 card, his cards are so undervalued compared to every other great quarterback out there. I would take one Rodgers over the Alcatraz, but the fact I get two, this isn't even close for me.
I mean, I can't wait to see if one of you gentlemen have a better answer than that, because Aaron Rodgers just absolutely blows chunks, and I don't even know why you'd want any of his cards, but Duke, over to you. I mean, do you have a better answer than Chad?
I think I'll have one that you will palate better. Yeah. I'll take the Alcaraz because Rodgers, there's enough people that, I don't think everyone dislikes him as much as Paul does, but there's enough people that have slight disdain for him, and he has no ability to ever be the GOAT in his sport, whereas Alcaraz truly has the ability. He might not be, but he's the favorite of this generation to be the next guy over the next 15 years. And there aren't I think there's a bigger market globally for tennis than there's a market for Aaron Rodgers globally. And so I'll take the possible upside of Alcaraz, and because I just see the Rodgers is more of a steady play. It's 300 today. It'll be 300 5 years from now. Whereas Alcaraz could double or triple if he wins seven majors or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're a Pat McAfee fanboy, there's no market for Aaron Rodgers, I don't think. So far, it's Duke and Paul versus Chad and Lefty. Lefty, what car do you take? What are you taking? Two Aaron Rodgers PSA 10 2005 Topps, or one Carlos Alcaraz 2022 PSA 10.
Well, my long-term goal is to be able to put cards away that gained exponential value over the long term. And so we've talked about that a lot, about I eventually want to buy houses with some of my cards, you know. And I think Alcaraz could be a house buying card, so I'm gonna say that.
Let's go, Alcaraz. Sorry, Chad.
That's okay. Put this on record. I will bet all three of you that 1 year from today, if we pull this back up, that Rodgers card will be worth more than the Alcaraz card. One Rodgers card will be worth more than the Alcaraz. The Rodgers card. The ceiling on the Rodgers card, if he does well and takes the Jets to the playoffs, that will be a $1,000 plus card.
Big if, Chad. Big if. That's a big if. I don't know, man.
Your Wisconsin accent's coming out hard, brother.
I know.
All right. Lefty's Gauntlet is following the theme of women's soccer as well, which is great. Trinity Rodman, 2022. Onyx Nimbus. Black auto out of 5 sold for $499.99. That should get Leslie Allegria pumped up. Or 2023 Sports Illustrated for Kids magazine, CSG 9.2. The whole magazine is graded. CGC technically. So this is interesting, Lefty. Walk us through your thought process here before we pick on having a graded magazine in as your gauntlet.
Yeah, so I think this is something I kind of have been looking at with us getting our magazines and things like that. And I've also been looking at this from a PSA magazine play. And there is a market for these out there. And so I just was wondering, what are they going for? Because, so then I was looking at Trinity Rodman. I've always been looking at Trinity Rodman. I have Rodman cards, you know, like there's just some stuff out there. And so I was just like, okay, cool. So I'm thinking, okay, you can buy Rodman right now for $4.99 or whatever it was, or you can take the magazine, which might be a different hold for you. You might have to find a different place to store it type thing, but also there's a different market share. But I would assume that $300 is way less than it will be at some point, because there's already been one that sold for $1,500. So, really? that's the one that sold recently. The one that sold first was $1,500, and then that one sold for $3. So would you rather have a graded magazine, which is kind of, you know, a little bit off, you know, like in the gauntlet, we have to like, it's like, would you have this, but blah, you know, yep, like the, yep, but is it's a graded magazine and you got to have a place for it. And the other one is it's an Onyx auto, but it is out of 5.
Yeah, good one. Good one. All right. So in our resurgence of the gauntlet, I'm going to go first on this one, and I'm going to take Trinity all the way. Trinity Rodman all the way on this. So my explanation is that if I were holding this right now, I'd be super excited about the upcoming Women's World Cup. I'd be a little nervous if I had to pay $500 for it, but because it's out of 5, I really like it. I think this is going to be super sought after, and I think the price of this card is going to go up quite a bit. What concerns me about the magazine is this should shock no one who's listened to this show. I don't have patience to hold the magazine, and I don't have a spot for the magazine. I think that's a great point. I think it's great that you put it in the gauntlet because it gives us something to think about. If I were to have to have the magazine, I would crack the magazine out of the graded case, and I would rip out the Wemby and the Alyssa Thompson, and I would get them graded, and then I would immediately sell them. So that's my thought on Lefty's Gauntlet. But so one vote for Trinity. But Duke, what are you doing with this?
So I'm not a magazine guy and I'm not a women's soccer guy, so take my opinion with a grain of salt. So I'm slightly lean towards the Trinity. I'm just really worried about Wemby's durability, and I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. Like, I worry about it with Chet. I worry about it with obviously people like Zion, but the body type of Wemby, I feel like we're still at the semi close to the peak of Wemby mania, and you're buying in at a slightly elevated price. And I think Trinity actually has upside over the next couple of months. And so I wouldn't buy either one of these things really right now, but I would lean towards Trinity.
Chad.
All right. I got to answer this and then I got to run, cause I've got an 8:30 hard cutoff for work here this morning. I am going to go with the Trinity as well for the same reason that I did not go with the Alcatraz or whatever his name is. It's the same logic and thinking. Because it's a recent magazine, the higher the pop count, the lower the value. So as people start grading these magazines, the more they get, the less that they're going to start to bring. That's the same way with the tennis player, because that's a one-year-old card. The more people that grade them, the less that that card is going to be worth, and that value is going to drop substantially. So I'm going to take even though I'm not a huge fan of Onyx, I'm going to take a autographed Rodman numbered to 5 all the way to the bank. And then,
all right, Chad,
peace out. Denny, you get 2 votes from now on. You can carry this gauntlet to the end for me, my brother.
WWCD, what would Chad do? I'll vote like you for one of them, vote like me for the other.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys. Thanks. Have a good week.
Thanks, Chad. Have a good day, man. Great stuff from the doc, Chad Gill. All right, guys, so we've got Sophia Smith out of 250. We've got Carlos Alcaraz, not Traz. and Chad makes good points. Don't get
that
me wrong.
That doesn't look like a green shirt.
No, it That's doesn't look like a green shirt. But Chad makes good points. But and in fairness, I don't think he had all the information on this card. But like, this card is not like, there is a limited print run on that card. Like, it's those were sold sort of like in a Tops Now-ish type format on NetPro's website, where there was only a limited amount of each card. And so you had to, I think you had to get in by a certain time to get those. So I agree though, like the pop count will probably continue to go up, but I mean, they've been out for over a year and it was a limited print run. So I'm not as concerned. I'll just throw that out there to you guys as we make our final pick. So we've got Sophia, Carlos, and Trinity Onyx. Lefty, who's your winner? Just pick between these three for your winner. They're all about the same price. I mean, they're all within $100 of each other. Lefty picks Sophia Smith. Duke, you've got Sophia Smith, Trinity Rodman, and Carlos Alcaraz. This is why we like the gauntlet, because you could have had Aaron Rodgers in here. Thank God you didn't. But I mean, everybody knows Aaron Rodgers. Not everybody knows these other three athletes. So I know it's a tough one, but what are you thinking here?
Yeah, and I would say it's a cool exercise just to hear everybody's opinion, because everybody has logic that's sound. Even if we come to a different conclusion, you know, hearing Chad's logic on this is great, even if you disagree with him. That's why trades exist. That's why card shows are fun, because you meet people and, like, you value this and they value that more, and that's what makes this kind of hobby fun. I'll go with Alcaraz because that's somebody I know and truly believe in for the long term, and so I know him more than I know the two soccer players, and so I'll take Alcaraz.
Nice. All right. I think, as much as I love the Trinity Rodman auto, but it worries me a little bit on the price point that I'm not going to get my investment back. And
was sold before she scored 2 goals last night. That's all I'm saying.
That's a good point. And I love it, but here's why I'm going to go with Alcaraz. To me, and I hate to say this, but it's almost like the two soccer players cancel each other out. They're on the same team. They're both young. Where if Alcaraz is the guy that, like, we know as the number one tennis prospect moving forward. So even though it's tennis and it's tennis versus women's soccer, I'm not going to speculate on the total market size of each, but they are, as it relates to the sports card market, each their own niche market. And you've got the opportunity to have the number one player from a prospect standpoint versus two potential number one players from a prospect standpoint. So I'm going to just go Alcaraz on that. And it's already a PSA 10, which doesn't suck. So that's another tiebreaker for me. And then Brian Steeler 714 says something interesting here that about Onyx, which I don't have that much experience with other than the Shadur Sanders auto that I bought. He says, Onyx is BS. I have all 5 Riley Green black autos and there's still some online for sale. So their numbers are wrong. That's interesting. He says they lied. I'm bringing them into the National and stick. I'm bringing them to the National and I'm sticking them in their face. Brian, can I please be there and video that for content for the Sports Card Strategy Show? I would love that. That would be amazing. That's interesting. So we've got two, I think Duke said Alcaraz, right? So yep. So Alcaraz wins the gauntlet. Thank you everybody for watching and listening to the Sports Card Strategy Show and for helping us bring back our gauntlet. Kendall, great submission. Before we sign off, just a quick shout out to Shane Graham, who's in the live chat. Cool profile pic there on YouTube with the Packers and Badgers there. I recently found about 50 SI for Kids magazines from about 2015 to 2020. There are a lot of nice cards, sheets, including Burrow, John Rahm, Sabrina Ionescu. What would be the play here? Great question. Biden. Wow. Phenomenal find. Lefty, what's the play there?
Buy them? If you didn't buy them, then buy it. If you did, then just start perforating those sheets and send them in.
I would buy in bulk. I would do exactly what Lefty said. Perforate them. Get them graded at PSA. They're going to be low pop count. Fun exercise. I think you'll make money off of it. Great stuff. Appreciate the question. Brian Steeler 714. Okay, good. Email me at paul@nooffseason.com. Let's line up when this is going to happen in terms of you sticking the Onyx Autos into Onyx's face. I can't wait for that. I'll be there to film it for the Sports Card Strategy Show. Everybody, thanks so much for watching and listening. Lefty, any parting shots before we leave?
Go Papayas. I also would like to announce to the world that I have a bed behind me because this is a spare guest room because my wife and I are having a baby.
Whoa, congratulations. That's amazing. So yes.
Baby girl McKee coming in December.
Win of the year. Congratulations, man. That is phenomenal news. Very happy that you shared that on the show. Good work. Can't wait for more updates on that. And Duke, I know that's hard to follow, but any parting shots for the day today?
No, congrats, Lefty. That's awesome. And then I would ask everybody, come see us at the meetup at the National. Please RSVP through Paul's link so you can we get a head count so we can tell the restaurant. So
do I need to see you guys later. Do I need to RSVP?
We've got you, Lefty. Don't worry.
Okay. We've got you. Yep.
My chest is itchy. Gosh, the sunburn hurts.
All right, we'll let you get back to life. Everybody, thanks so much for watching and listening. I'm Paul Hickey with nooffseason.com. For the Sports Card Dr. Chad Gill, who had to leave to fix his light in his office early. For Lefty McKee, for Duke, then he one time Dotson. Have a great day.